As was grimly expected yesterday, the death toll has continued to rise from Sunday's earthquake near the border between Iran and Iraq. Authorities in Iran now say more than 500 people were killed there, and thousands more were injured. When you hear about a disaster like this, one of the first thoughts many of us have is, how can I help? But sending aid to Iran from here in the U.S. is not as straightforward as you might think. In fact, it's pretty complex. The world's Shirin Jafari has been looking into this. So why is it so complicated to make donations to Iran?
Well, Marco, it's because of the sanctions that the U.S. government has imposed on Iran. Someone asked me today, didn't the Iran nuclear deal lift all the sanctions? The answer is no, it didn't. There are still a host of sanctions in place, including some that prohibit trade and business with Iran.
So if I'm looking to donate money to earthquake victims, what can't I do? Like, how do the sanctions limit what I can and can't do?
I called up Trita Parsi to ask about this. He's with the Iranian American Council in Washington, D.C. They're an advocacy group that focus on issues related to the Iranian American community.
You cannot send money directly. You can even not send it to a foreign NGO in Iran. So if you go to the British Red Crescent or something like that, that's also not permissible.
Okay, I get, Shirin, that these sanctions are still in place, but this was a major earthquake. Isn't there an exception for something like this?
There are exceptions. You can send money to an American NGO that's active in Iran and is only involved with humanitarian aid. These organizations, Marco, have special licenses from the U.S. government, which then allows them to operate in Iran without violating U.S. sanctions. Individuals can also apply for these licenses. The Department of Treasury issues them, but it's not easy. Here's Parsi again.
There's a tremendous amount of scrutiny that takes place, and there's some very, very specific rules that you have to follow, and the process itself can take you quite some time.
So not realistic when you're trying to reach people in a rush right after an earthquake.
Yeah, but as we're about to hear, this is not the first time a major earthquake has hit Iran, and the sanctions have been in place for a while. What happened in previous earthquakes?
Yeah, there are a couple of instances in the past where the U.S. has fast-tracked the process of issuing these licenses to help with earthquake relief. The last one was in 2012 when the Obama administration expedited these applications. Before that, in 2003, during the Bush administration, there was a really devastating earthquake that hit the city of Bam in southeast Iran.
I remember that, yeah.
Yeah, and about 26,000 people died, Marco, back then. The U.S. sent in military cargo planes that carried American search and rescue teams, medical supplies, and so on. And these were the first U.S. military planes to land in Iran, Marco, after 20 years. So that was really interesting.
So there was an exception at one point. How likely is it that something like this will happen this time?
Parsi says given the current political climate in the U.S., it's unlikely that something like this happens again. He told me he hears from Iranian Americans and others who want to help out, but they're just too afraid to break the law.
People are very upset that this is the current law, that you actually may end up violating sanctions, which could throw you into jail if you just try to help people who have had their lives devastated by an earthquake.
So, Shirin, as to what people here in the States can do to help Iranians in the wake of this earthquake, where can we go? What are those organizations that we can get money to that will get it to Iran?
We'll post the link, Marco, on our website, PRI.org, and people can find organizations that are vetted and do not break U.S. sanctions law.
The World's Shirin Jafari, thank you so much for this.
Thanks, Marco.